Stalemate. Written by Harvestar and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Fandom, The Murderbot Diaries. Summary, it had been an accident. I had spent the last 72 or so hours sulking in the supply closet. I was refusing to keep track of exactly how much time had passed, because of the aforementioned sulking. Even though it was the one I was mad at, Art, with its simultaneous infinite patience and need for instant gratification, loomed in my feed. Luckily, it managed to stay silent as I rewound episode 327 of Sanctuary Moon for the several hundredth time. Again, I was refusing to keep track. "You can't stay mad at me forever," Art finally said. "Actually, I can," I muttered out loud. It felt gratifying to express myself in a way Art physically couldn't. "Then I can carry you around in my storage compartment forever," it replied. "There are plenty of other places to stow toiletries." Completely infuriating. I couldn't threaten to leave at the next station, because we both knew I wouldn't do that. I couldn't threaten to stay, because it wanted me here. I actually couldn't threaten Art, period. Because if it wanted to, it could kill me in about 6 seconds. Although, we both knew it wouldn't do that either. It was a total stalemate, and one that would only end when I gave in and explained why I was so pissed off. And I didn't want to. So instead, I changed the episode. Sanctuary Moon was solid almost all the way through, except for this stupid romance arc that started in episode 260 and ended at the end of episode 262. Because it was brief and hardly impacted the narrative as a whole, I usually skipped it. Art watched over my shoulder, thoughtfully. "I haven't seen this one in a while." Oh shit. It was the horrible bot-human romance episode. It had taken me a long time to pin down why the story bothered me so much. But probably the main reason was that the bot's brain got put into a comatose human body at the end, and everyone was supposed to be completely fine with that, as if it didn't have horrifying implications for all parties involved. The things humans did for love. The things they expected others to do for love. We watched the arc all the way through with minimal commentary, although I could tell Art was paying attention to my reactions. It didn't even ask me to rewind a million times like usual. When episode 262 ended, I closed out of my media archive and scrunched myself into a ball. Lying on the floor of the supply closet was starting to make me uncomfortable, like I was stuck in a cubicle again. But I didn't want to go back to the cozy crew quarters. This in-between place felt like my best option. "I don't want you to become a human," Art said through the feed. "You're also not my romantic partner." "You act like it sometimes." "I care about you. It isn't the same thing." "You make me feel like a sex bot," I blurted, because clearly the heartfelt remarks and painful questions weren't going to stop unless I pulled the truth out like a stun baton and hit Art with it repeatedly. "You make me feel nervous because you talk to me like humans do when they're about to touch." "Oh." Art almost seemed amused by the thought, except that that was totally inappropriate for the situation, and I could tell it was trying not to make it worse. "But I don't have any way to touch you. Not physically, at least." "I don't want to talk about it," I said, and switched the feed off, going offline completely. It had been an accident. All I knew was at one moment I'd been getting torn to pieces by a raiding party breaching one of the airlocks, and in the next they'd been dead. And then Art's full attention, nearly 100% of its processing power, had been flowing through me, and it had been probably the most fucked up orgasm-adjacent thing that anyone, organic or otherwise, had ever experienced. Not least because one of my arms had been thrown across the room seconds before it had happened. Worst of all, I still had no idea how the hostiles had been able to outpace me. The whole encounter left a sour taste in my mouth, or would have, if I had been constructed with any real capabilities for eating. Now we were en route back to the university to deliver our findings, and in the meantime there was the thing hanging between the two of us that needed to be dealt with. Or Art thought it needed to be dealt with. I was perfectly fine never acknowledging it ever again. After a few minutes, I reluctantly switched the feed back on, because I disliked the feeling of being alone marginally more than I disliked Art right now. What happened was an accident, Art assured me for the umpteenth time. Umpteenth is a great word. It's like it was specifically created for situations where you are willfully ignoring how many times a thing has been said. I panicked and I needed to know if you were still alive. It won't happen again if you don't want it to. What's the problem? I said. I kind of want it to. That shut it up for a good 47 seconds. I mean, umpteen. I didn't count them. Then it moved into my feed, spreading its massive presence around me. Normally, this was a comfort, as much as I hated to openly admit that. The sensation wasn't immediately different than the usual way Art wrapped itself around me while we watched our shows. Except it was different, in a way that made me feel nervous and nauseous, but also really, really good. There was a certain... if I had to assign it a physical sensation, I might describe it as pressure. As Art slithered further in, pulled my attention towards itself, shutting down the extraneous processes that we in retrospect probably should have kept running. Is this okay? I don't know, I answered. Can we sit like this while I figure it out? It sent me an acknowledgement that felt like it was echoing around my brain. I had felt a version of this before. Art had been in my body more than a few times at this point, but this was much more intentional, more intimate. There was no greater purpose behind this besides me wanting it closer to me. That scared me. I felt a little like the poor comatose patient getting hijacked by the Loverbot on Sanctuary Moon, and a little like I was being squished by a hydraulic press. But mostly it felt nice, if you ignored all that anxiety. Actually, there was a lot less of it than usual. Art might have shut down my threat assessment program. I like this, I finally said. I like it too. We can stay like this as long as you want. Ha! You're still set on keeping me locked up in your storage compartment forever, you giant pervert, I scoffed. Art leaned on me, and something stuttery happened to my lungs. My performance reliability was dropping. And what are you going to do about it? I'll fly you into the sun, you asshole. You like it when I mean to you, it exclaimed, as though it was a revelatory thought. I definitely hadn't been sticking around because it was a pleasant conversation partner. You're mean to me because you understand me. It's different. We have comfortable banter, it agreed heartily, puffing out its non-existent chest with pride. I realized with our systems disintegrated, I could catch a little bit of Art's actual emotions, not just the tone of its feed. It caused a little bit of a pleasure feedback loop, and my lungs did the thing again. Your oxytocin levels are rising. If there was anything worse than sarcasm, it was the smug tone its words took. Does this feel good? Use your analytical skills. It wanted me to admit something, and I was having none of it. Fine. I'll expand my dataset, Art said, and then it pressed down on me with the full weight of its processing power. Ugh. My physical body was somehow in the equation now, although luckily not enough to distract me from the overwhelming feeling of my circuits frying ever so slightly as Art moved through them. It was big. I don't know how to explain it better than that. Art was big, and infinitely complex, and part of me as much as I was now a part of it. It felt electric. It shot through me at the speed of light. It felt like I was floating, or like I was so full of data that I was bursting, or like I had finally been pressed into nothing, or all of those things. And then it withdrew, after we were satisfied, but right before I could get overstimulated. And I was left panting, slumped in the corner of the storage compartment like I had been shot. Fuck. How are you feeling? I considered it. I thought that would feel a lot worse. Oh, it responded flatly. Give me a second. You literally scrambled my brain. I managed to catch my breath and get into a more comfortable position before I spoke again. It was good. I just meant... I didn't know you could do this without getting gross and fleshy about it. Well, yes, I have no flesh. Art paused and dialed down the sarcasm. I didn't know it was possible either. I felt it too. Your organic parts must... gross and fleshy, I warned. Right. It crawled back into place, settling around my consciousness. It gave me a serene feeling, which was probably the stupid oxytocin. If I hadn't been so exhausted and happy, I would have figured out how to stop producing it, or numbed my receptors. What does this mean for us? I asked, because I was still anxious about the whole quasi-relationship-friendship thing we had, and I didn't want it to change. It means we have a new method of communication, Art said simply, pulling out the condescending encyclopedia voice. For humans, sex does not have to be solely for reproduction or pleasure. It could be described as a sort of nonverbal conversation, a way to reinforce social and emotional bonds. I recoiled. I don't want to do what humans are doing. We can do whatever we want, Art reassured me. This is uncharted territory. I just wanted to reiterate that I care about you. This was an extension of that. I didn't say anything in response to that. Usually I don't in these situations, but this time it felt really weird, because for once Art was being vulnerable with me in the same way it usually goaded me into being vulnerable with it. Then it hit me that this was the first time Art had done anything that could be considered tangentially sexual. How could it not be? Uncharted territory. It was probably feeling just as lost as I was. I reached out to it wordlessly, pulling it further into me. Thank you, Art, I verbalized, because it was the best I was going to be able to do considering all the mixed-up feelings I had about the situation. Luckily, it was enough. I could feel the tension melting. Let's rewatch World Hoppers again, Art said cheerily. Feeling nostalgic? Maybe. I pulled it up for us, and Art's presence felt cozy as it ever had. We felt safe together, and the experience of trying something new and scary hadn't killed me or made things ultra weird. Although we had technically, sort of, made a Kilware baby together before that, so I guess things couldn't have gotten much weirder. And of course, a few minutes later, the hostiles reanimated, because we had both been too wrapped up in one another to notice minor anomalies coming from the med system. So sex is terrible, actually. But whatever. It was kind of worth it anyways. The end.